For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Schadenfreude, everybody must have screamed, ah! He's a sung hero. A little pushy-pushy. Are you back from listening to Stairway to Heaven twice? Now, those are just words I looked up on the internet.
Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, starts now.
Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Down. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, part of the Basketball Podcast Network. I'm Josh Witt. This is episode 19, the Texas Longhorns, and baby dog effect is not a thing. I mean, no disrespect to baby dog, but the picture of Bob Huggins, Ren Baker, Governor Justice, and baby dog could not overcome what we've talked about on this podcast about bad things are going to happen when you lose four games in a row. And West Virginia lost to a really good Texas team, a top 10 in whichever computers, humans, that's a really good Texas team coming off of a loss. And their experienced players acted like they were experienced on the road. And West Virginia has experienced guys, and I'm just not seeing it. And so West Virginia was picked ninth in the preseason. They find themselves in ninth place after seven Big 12 games. And so it's already time to start looking at brackets. Like, you're seeing that one guy for ESPN and his predictions, and he's not the know-all be-all of brackets. I use bracket matrix. And West Virginia is 1-6. Let's just get practical, okay? I've told you what history says about losing four in a row, but let's say, Josh, that's the history. You know, that doesn't guarantee what's going to happen in the future. You're right. So let's practically talk about this season and not dwell on what happened the night of when, even when West Virginia was hanging tough in the first half, had a 2-point lead. Had a lead in the second half and then gave up a run and just did not do things that you can do to win a game. And you can't win with 20 turnovers, whether you're in Morgantown, whether you're in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, all 50 states, Virgin Islands, Guam, 20 turnovers in a game. It's going to be tough to win that game. And that's what West Virginia did tonight. They had a few games where the turnovers are getting better. They were not good tonight. Did they miss close-up shots? They sure did. Did they miss free throws when in crunch time? Yes, they did. Did they miss a ton of wide-open shots? Not even just two-footers, but step-in three-point shots wide open that they've made this season? They did not make hardly any of those tonight. And only lost by eight, which is bizarre. But let's not get into that. Let's just practically look at what West Virginia has moving forward to figure out how West Virginia can get to the NCAA tournament. Let's not talk about Eric Stevenson post crotch grab and what's happening there. And we talked about him being sick and being in the hospital at some point, but there is Eric Stevenson before that gesture in Stillwater, and there's Eric Stevenson after that. And the post-Oklahoma State Eric Stevenson is not the same guy. And if you boil it down just the roster and what's happening with guys on the court, the biggest trend either way is Eric Stevenson's trend downward from that point. in the Oklahoma State game where he did that and then subsequently fouled out. He has not been the same guy. And then tonight, Jimmy Bell, as great as he was, the last game, foul trouble, Woggy comes in, instant fouls. Okonkwo plays well, but it was the big guys, and Trey Mitchell had some moments against his former team, but could not be effective in the second half and didn't hardly see him with the ball. To be brutally honest, did not see him with the ball. But Stevenson's been the biggest change in how that's affected the games after the Oklahoma State game. He just hasn't been the same for whatever reason. And that's had an effect on the results of the games. But let's not dwell in that and the 20 turnovers and Joe Toussaint showing up with 4 minutes left. There is a Joe Toussaint is hiding on the bench problem. And Joe Toussaint, let's all be honest and be honest with ourselves as far as what we know about basketball and how it compares to the guys playing for WVU and the coaching staff and the Hall of Fame coach. And when Huggins was asked about this tonight, he took the blame on his shoulders. 100% my fault that Joe Toussaint did not play a lot of minutes. Joe Toussaint is one of the best, you could argue, five guys. But let's just say he's one of the best seven guys, just to put that universe of seven. And if you're in the group of seven, then you can't sit the whole second half. You just can't do that. I don't think that has an effect on WVU winning or losing this game. It's just a bad look. It's just it makes you think as you're watching the game, maybe he's injured. Maybe something happened. Maybe something behind the scenes, what he's doing in practice. This is a thing. This is not the first game that this has happened. Talked about this on the podcast a few episodes ago. And I don't have a good reason why one of your seven best players is not playing a lot. And I think he's better than the seventh best player. And you figure it out. Yes, he's a point guard, and you've got two point guards, and you're playing Kedrion Johnson a lot. And Kedrion Johnson had another good scoring night tonight, was not as good as he was in the TCU game. Lots of turnovers from Kedrion tonight. But Kedrion Johnson and Joe Toussaint play together, and I hardly saw that tonight in the second half. And really in the first half. Let me look. How many minutes did Joe Toussaint play? Joe Toussaint played 10 minutes. I don't know. I don't know how he has 10 minutes, and he had the eighth most minutes on the team, 10 minutes. And there are, spoiler alert, there are guys above him as far as minutes that in my personal rankings would be below Joe Toussaint. I'm not going to say how many, but Joe Toussaint should, again, and Bob Huggins said it's on him, and he is a Hall of Fame coach. He's got the orange jacket. I don't have a good answer why that's happening. But let's skip all that. Let's get back to the schedule. Let's look at the schedule. How do we get the Mountaineers to the NCAA tournament with maybe a change of fortune here, and maybe something clicks, and maybe if you boil it down, maybe Eric Stevenson snaps out of this slump and goes gangbusters and goes Joe Alexander 2008. All right, let's just throw that out there as a possibility. And is that the most shocking thing? It would be shocking if if Eric Stevenson went on a run that got him to the draft lottery pick for the NBA. Isn't that insane? That happened. Joe Alexander in like a 15-game stretch became a NBA lottery pick. Let's get all that out of the way. Let's focus in here. Schedule. So West Virginia sits at 11-8. If you look at the bracket matrix this week, West Virginia is on the bubble. They're squarely on the bubble and riding in and out of being selected according to the people that follow this based on results. They were staring outside of the bracket according to bracket matrix before the TCU game. Then they're in after the TCU game. And I would guess after this game, they're going to be out again, but they're not going to be off the bubble. Still going to be on the bubble. Okay. So you have 11 Big 12 games left and the matchup with Auburn next Saturday. Okay. So here's what's going to happen. And it's a daunting task. And I'm not going to tell you what chance I'm giving this. I'm just giving you West Virginia's path to the NCAA tournament. Here's what you need. Texas Tech at Lubbock this Wednesday is a must-win game in this exercise of getting WVU in the NCAA tournament. Here's the problem. Texas Tech has not won a conference game yet. They are 0-7. And guess who they would want to get a win against? They want to win against anybody. But looking at their schedule, they're like, if we're going to get on the board, it's going to be at home against the team that only has one win in the conference. And West Virginia has not won a conference road game in a long time. You could argue, let me go back here. The last road win in conference that wasn't under the COVID restrictions is at Iowa State, March 2020. That's the last time it happened. Okay. So it's been a while, and West Virginia has not been great in the last season and a half. And you have to throw out 2021 because there was hardly anybody in those buildings. So it's been a while. But for West Virginia, on the flip side, to get a win on the road, your first win in buildings that don't have COVID restrictions as far as attendance since March of 2020, it's going to be against an 0-7 Texas Tech team. Okay? So must win. So in the you lose four in a row scenario, this game does not matter. In getting them in the NCAA tournament, this absolutely matters. And if they lose this game, then that's it. Then it is, in that scenario, game over as well for the season and a slide into mediocrity. Is that a word? Okay. Auburn game, it'd be great to win that one at home, not a must win. So here's the formula. You got to win both games against Texas Tech. Must win on Wednesday. Catch them when they come back to Morgantown in February. So that's two wins. That gives you three Big 12 wins. All right? Then you look at the rest of the league home games. Oklahoma comes to Morgantown. You've struggled with them. That's iffy. Iowa State, you've done fairly well against Iowa State in Morgantown. So they are really good. Like, they are sitting in the top half of the conference and are having a fantastic season, and they are all about a rock fight. But you got to get them at home. So that's three wins. That gets you up to four conference wins. And the goal here is eight, right? So Oklahoma State comes back to Morgantown. Revenge game, you got to get that one. That gets West Virginia up to five wins. Kansas State, who is at the top of the Big 12, but they're coming to Morgantown on senior day. Maybe they've got the conference regular season championship wrapped up, and they're looking forward to conference tournament and maybe taking it easy. And you get Kansas State, right? So that's six wins. The NFL playoff action continues. We're one step closer to Super Bowl 57, and for the NFL divisional round, check out DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers bet just $5 and get 200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Boost your NFL winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. Sunday divisional games, fantastic. Bengals-Bills, fantastic. 49ers versus Cowboys, taking me back to my childhood. Great stuff. Looking forward to it. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code TBPN. New customers bet $5 on the NFL divisional round and get 200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code TBPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Okay, so we're two wins short. So we need that Oklahoma game. So I know that's been iffy, but you need that. So that gets you the 7 wins. Then your away games are all against the top half of the league. And it's at TCU, revenge game. TCU smoked Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse, like woodshed style. Jalen Wilson was amazing. Everybody else was not amazing for Kansas. And they took a whooping to TCU, the team West Virginia just beat. So that's going to be a problem. At Texas, I'm going to be there for that game. In Austin, that's going to be a problem because you couldn't beat them at home. Baylor, problem. That's away. At Kansas, West Virginia's never done that. And then at Iowa State, problem because they are really good. And when they're really good and they're playing at home, that's a tough place to play. So where is it? I don't know where it is, but you got to get one of those very difficult road games to get the 8 wins. That's the path. And that's a tough path. And that is a, I'm not going to say the chances of them being able to make that path happen, but the away games are all very difficult. 5 of those games outside of the game in Lubbock on Wednesday, 2 of those are 2-game road trips. And it's a Saturday, Monday. It's brutal. And when you look at that and say, man, that's brutal. How are they going to do that? It really, you know, crystallizes the missed opportunities they had at Kansas State, at Oklahoma State. You get one of those, then it makes the math easier in this scenario. Unfortunately, if you get the Oklahoma State game, if the crotch grab doesn't happen and West Virginia has Eric Stevenson for the rest of the game and they pull that one out, then you're good in both scenarios, right? If everything else is the same, then you just have a 3-game losing streak. You beat TCU, and now I think Texas Tech is still a must win at Lubbock, which is rough because historically, since they've gotten better with Chris Beard and now the guy who looks like he should have a fisherman's hat on with the hooks in it, that's been a very difficult place to play. Tonight was bad. The Huggins post-game press conference mirrored what we saw as far as what you probably felt during that game. And it's not good. So that feeling, not good. And there's no talk of like, let's put a run together. Huggins was in, I told you I'd fix it. And right now I'm not doing it. And I've let the state down, like just really not glass half full talk from Huggins tonight. And you can't expect glass half full after that game. And what stinks is that it's not like Texas is DePaul. It's not like one of these years where Oklahoma State is kind of fumbling around, but they have a great game in Morgantown. And we've seen that before, you know? It's not that. Texas is really, really good. And that's the scenario you are in the Big 12. And so that gets to it kind of crystallized for me tonight, trying to make sense of this season so far. And in kind of the big picture, if you look back since in the Huggins era, you look at specific recruiting classes that have kind of been the cornerstone of a four-year run. And when Huggins comes in and his first really recruiting class of his guys, he brings in Kevin Jones and Truck Bryant and other guys. Devin Ebanks was in that group and others along the way. But the cornerstone of Kevin Jones and Truck Bryant both stayed 4 years. And in their 4 years, four trips to the NCAA tournament and a Final Four run. Then a couple of years not so hot. And then the recruiting class that includes Javon Carter, Daxter Miles, Devin Williams. But let's focus on Carter and Miles because they are the constant in the 4 years of Press Virginia. And with them as the cornerstone for four seasons, you get four trips to the NCAA tournament, three Sweet 16s with Carter and Miles there for all of them. Couple years that don't work out. Well, really just 1 year that doesn't work out, right? But you go to 2020, before the 2020 season, looking at history, you've got your two cornerstone guys. You've got Deuce McBride and you've got Oscar Tshiebwe. You've got a McDonald's All-American and a guy who was really talented in Deuce McBride that somehow landed at WVU. And two different paths on how they get out of WVU. One does really well and improves enough to get drafted in the NBA draft. And one guy doesn't make it through his second season and transfers to Kentucky. And then the following season, he's National Player of the Year. But your cornerstone, in theory, that's your cornerstone. And the cornerstone disintegrates in two seasons. And so this is the fourth season. You know, Oscar is playing at Kentucky as a senior. Deuce McBride would be a senior. And so with the other pieces around, how do you think that looks compared to what's happening? And yes, everything's changed in this last window, you know, with NIL and a free transfer year. That's all changed, and that wasn't available. So, you know, we're getting in the hypotheticals on if the NIL rules were in place when Huggins comes in 2008 and when Carter and Miles get recruited. And so it's not a true apples to apples, but your cornerstone was there and then it was gone. And then last season, and what's in those cornerstones? You have leadership. Kevin Jones, Truck Bryant, leaders. Obviously, Deshaun Butler. It makes it sound like I'm discounting the efforts of the Beeline guys. It just works for my cornerstone model of guys who come in as a freshman, leave as a senior since Huggins has been coach, and the success that came with those while these guys that I've mentioned were here for 4 years. And it's happening in other places. I mean, you look at Kansas, Jalen Wilson has been there 4 years. You don't have it as much, but you do see that. You look at the guys at UCLA and North Carolina struggling, but you see guys who have been there a long time. And that leadership quality is not there with this group. And there was a leadership vacuum last season. And those guys that I mentioned, the cornerstones, you had leadership. Kevin Jones and Truck Bryant were leaders. And Javon Carter and Daxter Miles. I mean, Daxter Miles was starting as a freshman. And Javon Carter, obvious leader in those, I would say, the last two seasons. And then cut to, I think, Deuce. I don't know. I think that's the wild card, right? Is Deuce a leader? I think he would have developed into that year three, year four. He didn't have it his second year, but he's just so talented. Oscar, I don't know if he's a leader guy either, but just super talented. Anyway, that's all hypothetical stuff. And you start talking about hypothetical stuff when it's not going well. Like the hypotheticals, you maybe mention those when things are going well. You know what I mean? Like, we're this good. Imagine if, like, you do that, but it's not the the first five things you think about. It's on down the list when you've exhausted how great things are going. Then you're like, oh, and then it could be this, you know? But when things are going bad, we go to hypothetical land to try to figure out, and just try to wrap your head around why it's not going well. So there you go. That's the path. But also, the path is already gone if you believe that West Virginia is going to have a losing season when they lose four games. This episode of Unreasonable Doubt is sponsored by Freeman Sports Cards and Collectibles. You know how it works. Call 304-416-3631. Here's a sample call that you could make to Freeman Sports Cards and Collectibles. Hello, Freeman Sports Cards and Collectibles. Hi, I'm Josh Witt. Guess what? I've got Voltron, all of the Voltron, all put together, and I've got the individual pieces. Do you want it? Great. And you'll give me cash? See? And scene. So definitely with your Voltron, with your comic books, with your action figures, with your collectibles, call that number. Have your conversation with Freeman Sports Cards and Collectibles and get cash. Also, you can go out and about February 3rd through the 5th, Parkersburg area, Grand Central Mall. Freeman Sports Cards and Collectibles will be having a card show and collectible show. So they'll be there at the Grand Central Mall. Be with them February 3rd through the 5th. Check out what they have. Freeman's Sports Cards and Collectibles. Shout out to the WVU women's basketball team. They have a new coach, and they have a winning record in the Big 12 Conference. They got a 10-point win today versus Texas Tech. And so not really like a major rebuild. I mean, they got a lot of new faces and, of course, a new coach. But Coach P, in her first season, doing great. Shout out to the women's team, getting it done. WVU men's basketball, their next game is Wednesday, 7 p.m. ESPNU on the road. WVU faces the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And as we've talked about, if you're finding a path for WVU to make the NCAA tournament, this is a must win. This is one on your list that you got to have if you're going to find a path to the NCAA tournament. And this is a basement brawl. This is a cellar fight, if you will. Texas Tech, they have obviously not won any Big 12 games. They took Oklahoma to overtime at home. They lost to Kansas by 3 at home. They lost by 10 today in Manhattan. They've struggled. They have not gotten a win. They are starting a freshman and two sophomores, which kind of stands out in this league. And they have O'Banner back, and they've got Harmon, who's on his third college team. And I know he gave WVU fits when he played at Oklahoma. And so, again, if you're finding a path to the NCAA tournament for WVU, this is West Virginia's third must win of the season. West Virginia 0-2 so far in must wins. And it's a tough place to play. The team you're playing is definitely looking for their first win. And look, if they get it, then West Virginia's tied with Texas Tech with one win in conference. But Texas Tech can say, well, our one win is against you, so I think we are ninth and you are 10th. And I think that's a fair way to look at it. We'll see what happens. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms. Just Apple Podcasts. That's a great way to listen. Or YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh with WVU for the 2022-2023 season. They have 11 wins and they have 8 losses.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.